first thing in the morning to come in as a cashier.
You
give Max some of the idea. The shir should go mechayel ulchol from success to success. Hashem the Baumgarten, Zichron Levracha, the Rav in Stamford Hill, was once in Manchester to give a shir. And he said, now he understands, Shatan the Gemara says, Divrei Torah niyim b'mokim echad, v'ashirim b'mokim achar. The words of Torah are poor in one place and rich in another place. And you learn a sugya, if you learn just one single sugya, it's very hard to understand. You need the different parts of Shat to explain you that sugya. So he said he understands different Shat. Divrei Torah niyim b'mokim echad, so when he speaks in London, everybody's heard him already, it's very hard to find what to say. When he comes to Manchester, he's never spoken in Manchester, but he goes up, v'ashirim b'mokim achar, he can speak whatever he likes. I feel a shtickle the same way, having given the start of your day in Manchester for 2.5 years. I'm slowly running out of schreira to say. I'm finding difficulty every week. And also when I come here, if I can feel a great for Osher, I can say whatever I want. Almost, yeah. The Seder starts off by Chi Yaakov. And we all know the famous Medrash which Rashi brings, Lomo Parsha Zustumo. Why is the Parsha by Chi connected to the previous parsha? There's no space, there's no gap, like there normally is between two parshas. So Rashi brings the Medrash, Yaakov Vina died, Nistabu Einayim V'Libam Shad Yisrael, Klal Yisrael's eyes was closed, Mitzorat HaShibut, Sheshchilu LeShabdom. The Medrash says the Golus of Mitzrayim started from the moment Yaakov Vina died. And the Emes is, we've been in Golus almost since then until now. The hatred of the Goyim to the Eden is something which continues, something which you can't run away from. Very often throughout the ages, various parts of Klal Yisrael have tried various methods to eradicate this hatred which Klal Yisrael have against the Eden. And one of the ways they thought it might eradicate it is to assimilate to the Goyim. But we know from the Chazal there has to be a separation between Eden and Goyim. And if the Eden don't create that separation, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts an extra hatred in the hearts of the Goyim and they create that separation. It's very well famous that the Reform movement in the 1850s in Braunschweig, they made some sort of convention and they decided to modernize the Torah, and they decided unanimously to allow a Jewess to marry a Goy. And the Rosh Hashanah at the time said, if we break down those barriers, there's going to come a time, and he didn't say here in Germany, but it happened in Germany, where the Goy will have to make a law that it's forbidden for a Goy to marry a Yid. Because a Yid is separate than a Goy, we cannot become like the Goy. And so the story, Yid once became a Goy. It's a Kishmav Nebuch. And a few months later, he meets his friend says to him, Nu Moshka, do you feel any difference being a Goy? So the answer, I'm not 100% sure, I'm still scared of dogs. That's what the Kishmashana given. The doctor of the Tsar, Russia, once went to inspect his frontline troops, and they all prepared themselves for the inspection, polished their boots, polished their buttons, and they were standing. The Tsar came with his whole entourage, and the Tsar steps out his carriage and he walks up to the first soldier and he said, what's your aspirations in life? So the soldier answers the Tsar of Russia, they go to Amor, and he says to him, my aspirations are to die on the battlefield for my father the Tsar. He asks the next soldier, he's very happy with himself, what's your aspirations? He says, my aspirations are to die in the battlefield for Mother Russia. The Tsar is feeling really good. He goes to the next soldier. He doesn't know this soldier is Nebuch Haid. He's been drafted into the army against his will. He looks the same as the others. And he says to the soldier, what's your aspirations in life? So the soldier looks at him and says, my aspirations are to become a Yosin, an orphan. Haid Kenish Verenagoy. I want to go into today is that throughout the ages, we find that the sinas ha'akum, the hatred of the Goy, manifests itself in different parts of the world amongst different nations. And today, where it manifests itself the most is in the heart of the Bnei Yishmael. And that's something that not only in Eretz Yisrael, around wherever you live around the world, they feel the sinner, they feel this certain foreboding, as I've said about Europe, they should call it Eurabia. Wherever one goes, one feels a certain sense of foreboding because of Golus Yishmael. And often we think to ourselves that this has happened as a result of various factors in the last 100 years. But we've got to know that we're going to see soon from the Torah and from the Chazal, Golus Yishmael was predestined to happen, it was our destiny. We're going to see from the Chazal, this is supposed to happen just before Mashiach comes, And I want to try and add to various nekudas I heard from other people, I want to add how we can see in Rishonim, in Chazal, why there has to be a Golus Yishmol. So when we look at Golus Yishmol, we mustn't think, Chas v'Shalom, that it's a manifestation of various factors which have contributed to the hatred of the Bnei Yishmol against us. That's not the reality. The reality we have to see in Chazal, this was predestined. They say Bill Gates, Yekum Nishamayim, and the Bezin Shomala said to him, we've got a problem, we don't know what to do with you. On the one hand, Windows, XP, face, you've enhanced the technical world to such a degree, you've changed the whole face of the world. You deserve a tremendous reward. On the other hand, the tools you created can be used for bad as well. We're not sure what to do with you. We're going to give you an option. We've never done this before. And you can choose where you want to go. So Hakligemensch, clever fellow, he says he wants to see first Gehenna and Gan Eden, and then decide which one's more suitable for him. So take him first to Gehenna. He's hovering 300 miles above Gehenna. He looks down, he sees a lovely beach, water lapping the sand, palm trees, coral, beautiful coloured fish. Looks very good. People enjoying themselves there. If this is Gehenna, what can I find Gan Eden? What can be Gan Eden? Who's going to go Gevaldik? Then they take him to Gan Eden. He comes and sees a huge Bet Medrash, people sitting and learning, Shechina, Malachim. It's all very nice, he says, other. He thinks it's much more suitable for him to go to Gehenna. The kids, they put him and send him to Gehenna. A few weeks later, one of the Malachim wants to see how this greater Bill Gates, this greater Knacker, how is he getting on Gehenna. So he goes and visits him in Gehenna. And he comes there, he sees he's shackled inside a dark cave, being hit by Malach and Havola. Doesn't look very good. So Bill Gates, he asks Bill Gates, "No, tell me, how's it going?" So Bill Gates doesn't understand. "You cheated me. It's not what you showed me. Something completely different." Dr. Malach Eger Welt. You must have seen the screensaver. That's what you must have seen. It was a screensaver. Look, everything we see in the world is only really a screensaver. It's not the reality. It's not what Lamaisa, what we're seeing, as we saw the Beit HaLevi last, etc. That Paray, the greater ruler, had a dream. It looked like because of his dream, Yosef was taken out of the tribe. Masnishta did it to Beit HaLevi. Yimikachin assigned on because Yosef was supposed to be taken out. That's why the great Paray had a dream. And all the papers, it looked like that Yosef came out because of Paray's dream. The opposite is true. Because Yosef was supposed to be taken out of the tribe, that's why Paray dreamt. The Sibba was Yosef's internment in prison, and the Masoiva of the effect was Paray's dream. And the same thing, the hatred of the Bnei Yishmol against us, although we can pinpoint various causes, that's not really the cause. The cause is in Shemayim, and what we see and how we can attribute the sinner to, that is only a Masoiva, that's only the effect of what was Nigdam and HaShemayim. Now the Posuk by the Bispin Absorim, the famous Posuk, states in Posuk that Avram Avinu fell into a deep slumber. States in Posuk, "V'hinei eima chasheicha gedoyla noifeles olav." A tremendous deep slumber fell on Avram Avinu. And says the Medrash, all the Medrashim, that these words in the Posuk refer to the Golius, the exile that Klal Yisrael had to endure until Mashiach comes. And they're well known that there are four Golus: Babel, Moda, Yovan, and Edom. And the Medrash is Eima is Edom, Yovan is Choshech, Hashecha, Shechoshcho, in name, Shel Yisrael. They took away the Torah's light. They were merumas in the word Hashecha. There's a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer which adds a fifth Golus, a Tana, a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer 2,000 years ago. And he says the word Olav refers to Golus Yishmol. Zu Malchus Yishmol, says the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Why is it referred to in the word Olav? Zog the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Sha'aleim ben David Yitzmach. Sha'aleim, because through Golus Yishmol, Mashiach is going to come. Sha'aleim ben David Yitzmach. Mashiach will come as a result of Golus Yishmol. Our Tkufa, and he writes the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that's Ba'achris Yom, the end of times. Our Tkufa is definitely the Tkufa of Golus Yishmol. And sometimes we feel very worried what's going to be in Eretz Yisrael, what's going to be in the rest of the world. The whole world is suffering from Golus Yishmol. But Emerson, in the Pasuk, where the Pasuk's telling us there's going to be a Golus Yishmol, in the same word, the Torah is implying that will be the final Golus, and from there redemption will stem from this Golus Yishmol. And I think we can compare it to the story which happens, which the Gemara brings the end of Bamakas, where Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Loza ben Azari, Rabbi Shur ben Rabbi Kiva were going along a journey. Says the Gemara, they came to the Mokam HaMikdash, the Gemara, they saw a fox run out of the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. They all started crying, and Rabbi Akiva started laughing. Zog the Gemara, they asked Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? He was a good Yid, he answers back with a question, he says, why are you crying? Zog the, how can we not cry if the place where the Torah tells us that a person cannot step, and if he would step in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would die immediately, how can we not cry if we see a fox running out of such a place? Now I'll tell you why I laughed. He brings a pasuk in Yeshaya where the pasuk puts the nevuah of Uriah Kohen and Zechariah ben Yevorchiu together. And the Gemara says, and the Kiva said, what is the connection between the two nevuahs? So the Gemara, that one nevuah it says that because of our Averis, the Mokim HaMikdash will be plowed by an ox. And the other nevuah says, which refers to the Zman of Mashiach, when Klal Yisrael will have Nuchas HaNefesh and Klal Yisrael will rule over the world. Says the Bakiva, until the place of the Mokim HaMikdash was plowed, I thought it would never happen, because in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, Klal Yisrael had an empire. They were in control, they were the strongest country in the world. In those times I wouldn't have dreamt there will come a time when there will be a Chubra HaMikdash and they will plow the land where the Beis HaMikdash stood. Now that I see there's a Kiyum of that Nebuah, I'm so happy. I know there will be a Kiyum of the Nebuah that Mashiach will one day come and Kalos will be Chodra Torah LeYoshna. So members, we have to really view in the same way Golis Yishmol. Just like Chazal told us there's going to be Golis Yishmol, and in the same breath they said to us that Mashiach is going to come. So on the one hand we are scared, on the other hand we're hopeful. We know Mashiach is going to come as a result of this Golis. Rabbi Chaim Vital in Eitz Hadas on the capital of Tehillim Kuf Chof Dalet, it's a long arichas there and it's worth having a look at it, it's fascinating. When he really seems to be talking about these years which we're living through, on the pasuk Lule Hashem Shoyalonu B'kum Aleinu Ben Adam, just written down a few lines, he writes that Yishmael B'soif Pa'achlis Hayomim, at the end of days, the final chapter in our history is going to be, they're going to come and they're going to be hot for Yisrael, they're going to pain Klal Yisrael, Tzoros Rabbis Koshis, they're going to inflict terrible pain on Klal Yisrael, Meshulois, unspeakable horrors they're going to inflict on Klal Yisrael, Leinirikim Oisom, things we have never seen before. A suicide bomb is not something we've seen before. A person can be blown to shreds, can be carried out by a woman. These are things we can say about the Leinirikim Oisom. Roitzim Livloya Yisom, they want to swallow us up and destroy us. Limchay Shem Yisom Matachas Hashemayim. Mamas like Homon, the Abed, or the Hashmid, or the Hag, the Chol Ayhudim, they want to destroy us off the face of the earth. As we heard only a few weeks ago, the Iranian president, a president of a big country, who we might have thought was going to behave himself, careful what he says. No, we don't know what he thinks, but at least be careful what he says. And he can say, Bepeh Mole, for the whole world to hear, we're going to wipe Israel off the map. That is something which is unheard of in the last few decades, that a president of a big country should speak in that way. This is mamish, which the Chaim Vital says, that openly they're going to say, they're going to want to destroy us, and live loy Hashem, and limchoy Hashem Yisrael matachas Hashemayim. The Chaim Vital wrote this 400 years ago. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar wrote it 2,000 years ago. These were times when the Bnei Yishmael were living in tents. Nobody looked at them. They were primitive. They weren't sophisticated. They didn't have a culture. They didn't have any greatness whatsoever, and their money had nothing. These words when they were written were ununderstandable. Now we can understand them, we can see words written so long ago are actually taking place in our time. When I heard from the Sokha Frank to the Moedi Gazach, Bilam HaRosha says, Vayisom Meshalai Vayoyma, Oy mi Yichye Misumoy Keil. And I found that the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar explains the way he explained it in Perek Lamed. Bilam said, Oy mi yichye, woe is unto the nation that will have to endure and live amongst the nation, misumoy keil. Oy mi yichye, woe is to the people who will have to endure and live and try to live amongst the nation, misumoy keil. What does misumoy keil? Says the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Misumoy keil means they'll have to live amongst a nation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has embedded his name, his very name, in their very name. Says the Medrash, Shivim Umoy, there's 70 nations There's only two nations where Akspochel's name is embedded in their name. That is Klal Yisrael and Yishmael. As they state in Medrash Pinchas of Elazar Perek Lamed. So the Bilam was referring, B'nevuah, he was prophesizing for the end of days. As they state, Tzlom Pinchas of Elazar, fascinating. That Bilam was telling Klal Yisrael, was saying, Oy mi yichya, woe is to a nation, they're going to have to endure and live amongst the nation, Misumay Keil, where Akspoch was embedded his name in their very name. Now what does it mean? Akspoch was embedded his name in their name, Yishmael. What does it mean Akspoch's name is in the name of Yishmael? So he said, Gewaltig Gezach, when they kill, when they maim, when they fight, they claim to fight in the name of God, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're always coming in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They say, Allah Akbar, praises to God. They hurt people, a jihad, a holy war, all in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all in the name of God. Of course, they don't mean God, they mean themselves. As I once had a Gewaltig Gezach, they bow down to the dust on their feet. So what does that symbolize? How do you bow to the dust of your feet? What does that mean? I once had a Gewaltig Pshat. When a person walks on his feet, there's an accumulation of dust. Every place he goes to, he has an accumulation of dust. They bow to that dust. Where I go, where I am, that is what God wants. That's what they say God wants. And therefore they bow down to that dust, which really symbolizes their desires, but they make that into a God. They try and display as if that's what God wants. Whatever I do, that's what God wants. They don't really come in the name of God, but they claim to come in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when somebody comes in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all know it's very, very difficult. They say a vettel, Kol machloikas yi l'shem shamayim, sofer is kaim. They say a vettel, it's not pshat. But any machloikas with that opposite side mean l'shem shamayim, oigivalt. When you deal with people who mean l'shem shamayim, you've got very, very hard to get through to them. When people mean l'shem shamayim, sofer is kaim, the machloikas is forever. Oh, lo aleinu, when they make l'shem shamayim in machloikas, you never get through, you never manage to conquer, you never manage to convince the person that you're right. What's a pshat? I want to add, what's a pshat that we have to endure Golos, an enemy of Bnei Yishmael, who are coming in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is the reason? We know Golos Mitzrayim, Akspoch, the Bama'ida, Kirashena. Every Golos has its reasons. What's the reason for Golos Yishmael? And the essence of Golos Yishmael is such a difficult Golos, they're coming in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's very hard to stop them. We cannot speak to them. It's all in the name of God, all God wants. And they go other side killing people in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'm going to give Gemara in Bom Metzia. Pei Vav Mevei. The Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu entertained his three guests, he entertained his guests, these three malachim which came dressed as Arviim, he said to them, Yukach no ma'at ma'am, v'lachat through Adleichem, take a little bit of water and wash your feet. Zok the Gemara Pei Vav Mevei, we'll find it, we see yesterday. Oh, yes, it is. Omru Loi said the Malachim to Avraham Avinu, V'chi ba'arviyem chishadatonu she'im ishtachm la'aba kagleyem. Are you suspecting us as being worshippers of idols? Is that what you're suspecting us? Is that why you want us to wash our feet? Zog the Gemara krayotso memeni Yishmol. Yishmol came out as a result, although he was already alive, but he went in a terrible tzroah as a result of this choshed b'ksherim. As the Marshal says, choshed b'ksherim loike begufoy. I wish they to Marshal. And we have to understand this tomorrow, it's very briefly, what's the chapter this tomorrow? Avraham Avinu was the epitome of Achnosas Orchim. He was a king, state of Medrash. He ran, he bowed out to them, he begged them to come, he wanted to entertain them. What so terribly asked them to wash their feet? He was so careful about their feelings. The Medrash tells us he took three tongues. He didn't want to cut one tongue into three because they'll be jealous and look on each other's plates. Who's got more? He was so careful with his guests. And we find Yosef told his brothers to wash their feet. It was normal practice to wash your feet in those days when he came from a journey. Lavan told Eliezer to wash his feet. He knew Eliezer wasn't over the Moses as well. It was normal practice. Says the Mashar, at least Mashman the Mashar, that he was hiktim. That was the first thing he said. He had a whole list of things he was saying. He was telling him a whole list of what I'm going to do for you. That shouldn't have been the first thing. The fact that he put it first seemed to imply that was the forefront of his mind. The reason being, why is that in the forefront of your mind? That's most important to you. And therefore they felt a certain element, they didn't really feel because they were malachim, but they felt a certain element of being suspected. And therefore, they said, "Oh, you're suspecting us of serving away the Torah," and stating Mashal as a punishment. Yishmol the yot and the parable Zorah. Yishmol went to serve away the Zorah. This is in Mashal chat in the Gemara. Post chat in the Gemara. Why did Avraham Avinu want to wash their feet? Avraham Avinu, Hachnosis Orichim, was not a social enterprise to socialize his people. He had one matora in his Hachnosis Orichim, and that is to bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was what he wanted. It was a Kirov campaign to bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and throw out the idols. So it's only right and fitting to not to allow any dust which was worshipped into his house. He meant Lashem Shamayim, there's no doubt. But even so, in his great Madrega, when he meant Lashem Shamayim, if somebody gets hurt when somebody means Lashem Shamayim, it's a chet. If he is Madrega, we don't understand this. But in his Madrega, it was considered a certain sin, and therefore he was punished that Yishmol and the Tabuz Rav. And we find again the same thing in an Ramban. The Apostle in Parshas Lech Lecha says, Batamel Sorah v'tibrach mepanel. Sorah afflicted Hagar, and as a result she ran away. Now in Tosefta Perek Zayin in Sota it says, just like the second time they sent Hagar away, Akshpoch said to Avraham, Koyla shetoy melech Sorah shema b'koyla. Zok the Tosefta v'osis koyl, zok the Tosefta. Just like the second time Sorah's right in sending him away, her away, so to the first time she got rid of her, she was also right. As though she didn't deceive Ayak and Shmokah to go back, well, that Shmokah gave her a good piece of advice. Doesn't mean Sarah was wrong. The Tesefta says quite clearly that even the first time she was right in getting rid of Hagar. Even so, says the Ramban, Chota Imenu, she has sinned. Be'inu out there, with this pain she afflicted on Sarah. The Gam Avram, and Avram Vina as well, had sinned. Benichoy Lazis came by allowing her to behave in such a manner. And this is not a contradiction to this Esther. Even she had the right to get rid of Hagar, there was a way to do it, to give her notice, send her a letter. Don't pain her and force her to run away. And says that I'm bound something peladic. Vashoma Hashem Elonya, Shpoko heard her pain, Ben, and he gave her a sin, a son. Shepera Adam is going to be a wild person, La Amoy Zera Avram Vesara, who are going to pain Klal Yisrael, who are children of Ram and Sarah, the Chomin Inoy, in all types of pain. Shtek Klan Amban, and I think I'm Mashma the Gemara as well. Now the reason why we have to suffer Golas Yishmael is because of the pain which Sarah inflicted on Hagar, because of Avram's Chshav. He was Choshed these Malachim to be Oydavid the Zara. I think Mashma and the Gemara Bamatir, that's why we have to suffer Golas Yishmol, because Avraham Avinu was the Avam and Goyim. Every little crack in anything he did had terrible ramifications for us, because he was the Av Hamayim and Goyim, he was the father of Klal Yisrael. I want to add a Gevaldik Likud L'Ochera. Again, when Sarah tried to get rid of Hagar, she met Lashem Shamayim, as the Medrash says, as the Tosefta says, Koyla Shatoy Melech Sarah Shema B'Koyla. Even the first time she meant well, she met Lashem Shamayim. But if you do something with Shem Shemayim and you hurt somebody else, it's an Aveira. And maybe that's why, as Chazal and the Rambam tells us, a Yishmol comes out as a result of this Chet. Yishmol stands Lahavdil Elav Avdomas in a similar type of way. He means the Shem Shemayim and he hurts people the Shem Shemayim. Could be there's a connection, just like Sora hurt Hogel the Shem Shemayim, but he hurt her. And Avraham Avinu hurt his Malachim Hashem Shemayim, but a female Madrigosim was a sin. Therefore, they had to suffer a Yishmol, as the Ramban says, they're going to, Bechol Minu Inui, in terrible affliction Yishmol are going to cause on Klal Yisrael, as a result of these two sins. And the affliction is going to be in a similar type, Midah Keneged Midah. Just like they met Hashem Shemayim and they hurt, so too, the Yishmoelim are going to mean Hashem Shemayim, and they're going to cause hurt the Hashem Shemayim, as they claim. Thus can Zion the Midah Keneg and Midah. Why we have to suffer Golas Yishmol? The state in Chazal is going to be, and that Nechoma is that Aleim Ben David Yitzmach, that Mashiach is going to come as a result of Golas Yishmol. And maybe one of the ways we can be mistaken this Inyan of Atalei Sora is not to hurt people in Hashem Shemayim. Hashem Shadon says a Gvaldiga Meisa, a Yid once, there was a dwarf from Yerushalayim, very, very small, and a tourist a long time ago had come to visit Yerushalayim, a very frumer, a greaser, Lashem Shemayim Nick, and he came into Yerushalayim and he saw this dwarf speaking to his friends, and he says, oh, I've got a gewaldig opportunity now to make a bracha b'shana abriyas. But to say it quietly, that's not the way you make a bracha. So he walked up to the dwarf, and he was a 6'6", and he lifted up the dwarf, the big samaiti, and with a bracha that was shocking. So he started shocking away, and he was shocking, his arms and legs were flaming in the air, this poor dwarf, and he made a bracha with the ganz Hashem HaMalchus to the Shem Shamayim m'shana habriyas, and he expected everybody to say amen. So Rav Shlomo Shadon, this fellow met the Shem Shamayim of the Vos at Mevazah given at Tzvei Tehid in the process, but the mitzvah is gone ishvet. And he brings another maitha, which I think he brings from Rav Shlomo Salant, and Rav Shlomo writes, he hopes it's only a mashal, not a true story. There's once a shul where the Balkoria wasn't well and they had to find another Balkoria. They found this young boy who was prepared to learn the laning for that Shabbos, and it happened to be Parsha Zohar. And as they came to the master, there was a Yid Shem Shamayim, said he can't rely on Chazaka the Rabba, he can't name Parsha Zohar, Chametz is the Raisa. But everybody said, look, he prepared the laning, it's very nice him. And a whole battle ensued in the shul. Should we allow him? Shouldn't we allow him? Backwards and forwards. They told him, if you're not happy with him laying, go and make another in the other shul. No, he has to be Broivom Hadras Mela. He's going to make it in the shul with everybody around him. You can't go and make a meeting of 10 people. And the whole machloek is backwards and forwards if they can allow this boy to read Parsha Zohar or not. And this boy never was standing in the beam and looking backwards and forwards, the object of an argument, feeling very embarrassed. At the end, this gracious tzaddik got up on the beam and he leaned it himself. At the shalom gezocht, at Moichi Gwen Amolek, Medzayin Hashem Shemaim, he ended this young boy, this Bamitzvah boy, was Mamash Vizara Amolek. Azeret Hashem Gezocht. It does it on the Shem Shemaim, which is not the Shem Shemaim which we're supposed to use, and that is the Shem Shemaim which can result in Avein. Mishmish of Mice and Tantra Mice very quickly. There was a Mice in Zitumir, where there was a great Gvir against the Rebochu, and there was a great Orah man in the Shtot. There was a rich man and a poor man. The poor man was very not Matzliach, the Yutzlach. Everything he tried to do went bad, and his name was Hishbeh. And it came out of Yom Kippur, and not only people looked down at him, his wife also looked down at him. He couldn't make Palosa, and his wife sends him to shul without any supper, without sort of afekas, and he comes to shul starving hungry. And he comes to shul and he's starving hungry. If he can't have food, at least let him have Ashmek Tabik. So he knows that the Gvir Reboruchu has got a beautiful silver case of Tabik always on him. He'll go and ask him for Ashmek Tabik. And he goes up to the front of the shul to the Reboruchu, and the Reboruchu is sitting there saying Tefillah Zakah moments before Yom Kippur in the Zibur to Himmel. With his talmud, the ghost of Torah over him, nobody could see his face, and he taps him on the shoulder. The Hish Bear, can I have a Shmek Tabik? So he lifts up his talmud, and he says, Baruch Hu, yes, in Tfilah, mid Tfilah Zakah, a Shmek Tabik. And he put his talmud over his head, and he carried on saying Tfilah Zakah. And this poor Yid walked back to his place. He thought, Rabbi Shalom, I'm not even worth a Shmek Tabik. I'm not even worth a Shmek Tabik. But I'm halachim yechav feizum, and Shemayim yechav grace of Tumul. And it's decided that year that the wealth of Rav Hishbeh should be transferred to Rav Baruch Hu. And a few months after Yom Kippur, I might mix up the names. And after Yom Kippur, after a friend, after a mishpocha of Rav Baruch Hu, or a man, he comes past Jitimir and he lends him some money and he starts from Matliach. I mean, now this Rav Hishbeh becomes poorer and poorer, and he realizes something strange happening. He runs to the Baditshiva. He says, Rebbe, I'm losing my wealth. What's happening? And he thinks backwards and forwards, what's he done wrong? He can't pinpoint anything that he had done wrong. And the Baditshiva, there must be something you've done wrong. He can't think of anything. Zokta, but you're interesting. The same time my wealth's going, this other fellow, this poor man's wealth's becoming increasing. He's becoming wealthy. Zokta Baditshiva, that's the record, that's the connection. Think of any connection you had with him. And you remember this story happened back to the Zaka. He said, that's it. He said, but how can I be stuck in it? So the Baditshiv and the Sant, he says, the only way to get the money back is you ask him for Shmek Tabik. So Vashtetzich, this man lost all his wealth, and now he's going to come back to Shtot Zitzime. He's not going to ask him for Shmek Tabik, right between Milchamar and Lodim schmoozing around. He's going to find the opportune moment. And meanwhile, this Olaman becomes a great Gvir, and he becomes so choshev. And the Rav of Mishadach, very quickly, the Rav of Mishadach with him, and said a grace chasna under the chuppah. Under the chuppah, he's holding the ksuva against him on a threatening pashmek tabik. You can imagine under the chuppah with a rov with all the gedolim dotten, I have the chuppah in hand. And this turned gvir says, of course, Rav Hirsch Ber, wait a second, he puts the ksuva back in his pocket and he gives him a shmek tabik. Before he manages to smell it, he chalishes. See, oh, you love. He's destined to stay in Aramam. Like, he told him to carry, they revised and told him to carry on the chuppah. And afterwards, he didn't explain himself. And he explained the whole story afterwards. They went later to the Baditchever, and the Baditchever said, listen here, Emes and Shemaim, your wealth went to this man. Maybe give him a chedek of the wealth. This man was a very choshvi, and he gave him half his wealth. Oh, but Ikka wanted to bring out the story. In Mitten Tvila Zaka, when a person feels so high, on a high, about to enter Yom Kippur, with the grace of Talos over his cot, with the Gansa Kavonas, when a Tzveta Yid cooked them a Betten Vashmek Tavik, the Gansa Shem Shemaim, in Mitten Tvila Zaka, after the Hochi was punished, the Shem Shemaim doesn't go so far. A Yid never wants a Shmek Tavik, give him a Shmek Tavik. Yeah.